My privilege. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. My privilege. It is my privilege to proofread the Song of the Spirit. That's the advanced course, the graduate course of the University of Healing, before it goes to reprint. We have to reprint our books from time to time because we have so many students, we've run out of books. And I've just finished proofing the entire book. Now I'll go over it and read it as a flow, whereas before I was reading it that each line and phrase were saying what I wanted them to say with the correct positive attitudes and with a few little changes that time has brought to those things too. So, as I read the Song of the Spirit, I thought to myself, oh dear, if I could just read this book every single day, if I could read a chapter of this book every single day, just a chapter, what wonderful things it would do to me. And I wrote the book in the first place. But what wonderful things it would do to my attitude about my life and my attitude about my world. It is such a complete and adequate report on how to live a positive life and have positive results in your life so that you can enjoy yourself. And it's not a matter of changing anybody else. It's not a matter of changing yourself. It's just a matter of deciding what are the things that are important in your life and then concentrating on them. Thinking only about those things that are important to you. Because if you think about anything else other than what's important to you, then you're in trouble. If you're thinking about how other people live their life, if you're thinking about how the world is going around, where the wars are, where the problems are, then you're that problem. But if you can be so beautiful and so wonderful, life is just so grand. I had a phone call from Rhonda Joyce the other day, and the phone call began like this. Herb, guess what I did? And Rhonda is always full of wonderful surprises, and so I said, tell me. She says, I saw the movie. What did she see? I saw the movie of that girl who found everything beautiful. She had a minister for a father, and he died. And what did she do? What did she do? She was happy all the time. She was going around all the time being a happy girl. She was going around all the time thinking happy thoughts. And she thought of happy things to do. Now Rhonda thought, wow, what a wonderful movie. And of course, the movie is old as the hills. The movie is really delightful. And it's really one of those that we can never forget once we see it. So, when you have a chance to see something like that and see how it works in the life of a person, even though the movie probably had a few things written in there which hadn't happened, but most of it had happened. What was this little girl doing?
Seeing the world with rose.
She was seeing the world with rose-colored glasses. Because what was the name of the movie?
Pollyanna.
What was the name of the movie?
Pollyanna.
What was the name of the movie?
Pollyanna.
Pollyanna. Pollyanna. Pollyanna. Rex, what was the name of the movie?
Pollyanna.
That's the name of the girl. Pollyanna. She was always looking for happiness. She went to her minister, where she was now living, And the minister was up on the hillside, and he was ranting and raving and getting into the swing of things. And he says, "Don't you realize how difficult it is to give a talk to these sinners and so forth?" And she said, "You know, my father went in the Bible, and whatever the number was she gave, and he found 300 or 500 times,
at least 800.
800 times that the Bible said what?
Something joyful.
That the Bible said a joyful experience about life. That we should live in joy and harmony." And the minister was going through all of his hell and damnation, and he was not thinking of the joyful qualities of the Bible. And so that very night he sat down and he looked at the Bible. And the next day he saw Pollyanna. And he said, Pollyanna told him, or I don't think he said Pollyanna, he said, "Someone told me that there were 800 joyful phrases in the Bible of God speaking about his people. And the person who told me that was wrong. There were 808 things." You know, he found even more. And he said, "And we ought to be joyful. We ought to look at the joyful side of life." Now, Pollyanna was just Pollyanna. She was being herself. She wasn't saying to the minister, "You're a terrible minister. You're always talking about terrible things. You know, you're bad to listen to. Nobody likes you. Everybody thinks you're terrible." She didn't say anything like that. She just went to him and she said, "Well, I asked for a doll when I was in the missionary camp in China. And so my father asked them to send a doll and also some cloth." And so what they did, they sent some tablecloth material, which was checkered, you know, which was patterned, and it didn't make good clothing at all. And so my dad made me a pair of coveralls out of this tablecloth material. And he said, "Just think of that as your doll, because that's what you got. You asked for a doll, and you got a tablecloth. You got this material." And the material was all the same stuff. So all the children in their orphanage over there wore those clothing, that type of material, because that was what was sent. Well, Pollyanna had learned that you just always look for the good. And if you always look for the good, you'll find it. And the Son of the Spirit is sharing with you the idea that whatever you put in your mind, if you're looking for good, you'll find it. If you're looking for bad, you'll find it. If you're looking for unhappiness, it'll be everywhere around you. If you're looking for happiness, that'll be everywhere around you. And the Song of the Spirit goes on and on, chapter after chapter, 23 total chapters and a couple of extras at the end, with giving you all sorts of positive attitudes and positive things to think about. It's really an uplifting, fantastic book. And as I'm going to read it again today, I'm going to have my delight time. I will sit there with a cup of coffee and read the book and just be in happiness with it. I'm going to attempt to take the book from the Ventura pattern and make a copy of the whole thing and put it into my email. And then in my email, or I could put it into Word too, but put it in my email and then let it, my email talk it to me while I listen to it and proof it a second time. So we'll see if it works. It's worth a try. I've just made a copy of it on my chip so that I'm sure to have it, you know, so it's okay. But it's just fun. It's just fun. I'm looking for all the happiness and I'm looking forward for an exciting adventure. It's some 240 pages of an exciting adventure. The book originally is just 200 pages, but I made it larger type for me to enjoy reading it. And so it is just a really a lot of fun thing. So all of us can look for the happiness in life, look for the good in life. And when we do, great things are happening. Now, Just because a person complains, as I did, about Danny Kaye in some of his movies where he acted slapstick and degraded himself, that didn't mean I didn't like him or other things that he did, like Ugly Duckling, you know, and so Hans Christian Andersen. But it was interesting what Sylvia said, that in one of the takes, it told about his daughter coming to see him acting on stage and doing slapstick stuff and being stupid, act, and people laughing at him, not with him, but at him. And his daughter, who was 4 or 5 years old, was crying. And he said, "Sweetheart, what's the matter?" And she said, "I don't like it when people laugh at you, you know." And that may have been the time that he stopped doing the slapstick stuff. But we don't know. We don't know. We think it's being cute. And a lot of times we do things because we think it's cute, like I say, cutesy, because we think that that's a charming thing to do. It's very uncharming. It reminds me so much of Ellen Jeremy when we are in Europe and some person from London comes over and speaks articulate German, articulate Italian in her presence. She said, "Wow, you're great. Are you from Italy?" "No, I'm from London." "You speak such beautiful Italian." "Well, I just learned it, and I learned it without accent. I learned it pure and beautiful." And another person, well, like James Bond. You know James Bond?
Yes.
James Bond is purely fiction, but it's great. No matter where James Bond goes, he speaks articulately the language and the dialect of the language wherever he goes. And he goes into every restaurant in the world and he's recognized. They say, "Mr. Bond, how nice to see you." And in the articulation of Russian or German or Italian or English, he speaks it so clearly and perfectly. And, of course, they love him. They love him. Well, you have to be quite a genius to do that. And James Bond is pictured as quite a genius. But he's no more a genius than you are. He just loves it. He loves to speak articulate dialects and languages in the countries that he is. Plus, he loves to love girls. Now, I mean, that's a very strange thing for him to do. But he just loves to love girls. And he loves them, not always sexually, perhaps, but he loves them enjoying the beauty of their appearance and the magic of their being. And he always creates very high-quality girls around him. Girls that have excellent manners and excellent attitudes about them. And, hey, so who writes the script for James Bond? Have him write the script for your life. You know, in whatever way you want it. Do you want to have a positive, you want a Pollyanna world? Write your script. I talked about this for years, and we should write the script of our life, for we truly do.
Yeah.
But purposely and definitely write the script with all the happiness in it and all the joy. And if anything comes along that's a little unhappy, say, "I must rewrite that script." And then go back to your drawing board and write the script. And then act upon it. And it's wonderful. But you know, that's what life's all about. It's living in the now, acting our script now. And I'm so honored to read all of that stuff that I wrote, because that's what I believe, and that's what I live, and that's what I am. And I probably should go back and read The Art and Science of Wholeness, too.
That is good.
I'm sure that would be equally exciting.
Okay.
But I'm sure I would probably read it with my blue pencil, editorial pencil, of making slight changes here and there of my now self reading it, you know. And who knows, I may do that. But first things first, and I'm really enjoying The Song of the Spirit. So if you have an opportunity, pull out your copy of The Song of the Spirit and just sit down with a good glass of wine or a good cup of coffee or a cup of tea or whatever pleases you, maybe a glass of fresh, beautiful water, and read a chapter or two and fall in love with yourself once again, more wonderfully than you've ever been before, because you're living in
and now.
I love you eternally.